I'm Art Jobe, Fillmore Street. This is TheBeatBot.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 27th of October. On this date in 312 AD, Emperor Constantine receives his vision of the cross, telling him to put Christian symbols on his soldiers' shields before going into battle. He goes on to make Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, then based in Constantinople. 1795, the Treaty of Madrid is signed, which establishes a border between the United States and the Spanish Empire, which at the time controls much of the southern part of what is now the United States. 1838, Missouri Governor Lilburn Boggs issues an order saying that all Mormons must be exterminated or driven from the state. Most of the state's Mormons flee to Illinois. 1971, the Democratic Republic of the Congo is renamed Zaire as part of a campaign to use authentic African names in official communications. The capital, Leopoldville, is renamed Kinshasa. 1991, Turkmenistan declares independence from the Soviet Union. It is the 13th Soviet Republic to do so, ahead only of Russia and Kazakhstan. 1999, gunmen open fire inside Armenia's parliament building, killing Prime Minister Vazgen Sargsyan, parliamentary chair Karen Demirchian, and six other MPs. I remember when that happened. I was in the old Batonebi's pizza place that no longer exists when it was in Vake. First pizza in Tbilisi that didn't have mayonnaise squirted all over. Very important place. Those assassinations happened, by the way, just as Armenia and Azerbaijan were close to a peace deal. Just saying. Birthdays are Niccolo Paganini, Teddy Roosevelt, Dylan Thomas, Sylvia Plath, John Cleese, Luis Ignacio Lula da Silva, and Francis Fukuyama. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. This podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment, ask a question, go to TheBeatBot.com or send us an email at TheBeatBot@gmail.com. Repeat elections were held in four parliamentary districts that were where the voting process were disrupted on the 8th of October. Marneuli district will have a runoff later this month because neither candidate won a clear majority. National Movement's Ahmed Imam Kuliev received 48.1% of the vote. There was no clear winner in Zugdidi, where Edisher Tolaraya of Otsneba received 49% of the vote compared to Sandra Roloff of the National Movement with 45%. Roloff said she won't participate in the runoff because her victory was stolen from her. According to statements she gave to the Odishi News Service, she believes that she received a majority of the votes, but the results were falsified. She also believed that results were falsified at polling stations around the country on the 8th of October, and she's surprised that many international organizations, including the OSCE, NATO, and the Council of Europe, gave an overall positive assessment to the election process. She thinks there's been obvious manipulations by the supporters of the current Otsneva government. She thought, even though she refuses to participate in the runoff in the majoritarian district of Zugdidi, she could still get a parliamentary seat because of her relatively high position in the National Movement Party list. Her decision to boycott the runoff has been criticized by some members of her party, including Executive Secretary Sergo Ratiani and National Movement MP Nika Melia, who accused her of abandoning her voters. The other two contested districts, both near Zugdidi, will go to runoffs as well. The Central Election Commission has set the tentative date for the 30th of October. Same day the runoffs will be held in the other 46 districts that were decided on the 8th of October. Former members of the Free Democratic Party, including Dato Onuparshvili and Zura Abashidze, Gia Tsagarishvili, urged their supporters to vote for Otsneba candidates in the runoff elections on the 30th, saying that there's no alternative to Otsneba at this point. Of course, that doesn't go for the runoff election in Chiatuta district, where Free Democrat Timur Gaprindashvili is facing off against Otsneba candidate Sulhan Makhatadze. The statement didn't go over well with current party leader Nino Goguladze, who said the Free Democrats are now an opposition party and has a responsibility to warn the ruling party about the dangers of the parliamentary majority and that its supporters can make their own choices about who to vote for in the runoffs. A man was killed while attempting to break into the Kurtsanisi Military Center, the location of which there were NATO and Georgian troops, where they trained together. At least that's what the army said. According to reports, the man was armed when he and two others broke into the center on Sunday. He was killed by a watchman. Two other invaders escaped and are still being searched for. The Defense Ministry is investigating the case, although Defense Minister Levan Izoria already stated that the guard acted lawfully when he shot at the invaders. He said the watchman gave a verbal warning, then fired a shot in the air. Both warnings were ignored by the invaders. Only then did he shoot at them. The parents of the slain man can't believe that he would have threatened a guard like that. They said he didn't own a gun and that he was shot in the back. They think the man The men went there to visit a friend stationed at the center. They are also suspicious because the body wasn't found until hours after the incident allegedly took place. Huh. Following up on visa liberalization, members of the European Parliament Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, which last month approved visa-free travel in the Schengen zone for Georgian citizens, urged the EU Council to start negotiations with the European Parliament on visa liberalization without delay. The EU Council and the plenum of the European Parliament both need to approve visa liberalization before it can come into effect. The Council also wants to agree upon a suspension mechanism which would allow the EU to temporarily cancel its visa-free arrangements with Georgia in certain situations, such as a major international crisis, meaning lots of refugees. In travel to and from Georgia, the NATO-Georgia Commission met in Brussels on Wednesday to discuss security issues with a focus on strategic communication. The Georgian delegation presented information on the steps of the country is taking to improve strategic communication. Economy Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili was in Islamabad, Pakistan this week for the 15th meeting of the Central Asia Regional Economic Cooperation Group. Georgia announced its full membership at the meeting, becoming the organization's 11th member. President Mark Velashvili appointed Dato Rakviashvili the new Secretary of the Security Council. He was previously Deputy State Minister for Reintegration. He replaces Irina Imerelashvili, who stepped down last month to take a seat at the Constitutional Court. Rakviashvili's appointment puts to rest rumors that Irakli Alassania would be the next secretary. Rakviashvili worked with Mark Velashvili at Caucasus Travel and was on the JIPA board with him and me. In separate action, the president pardoned 168 prisoners. 114 were released from prison on the 27th of October, while the remaining 54 had their prison sentences released. Of those 168, six are women. Defense Minister Izoria announced that the government will most likely make a decision in November on whether to end compulsory military service. Official discussions will take place this week. The previous minister, Tiniko Khidashely, signed a decree to abolish compulsory service on the 27th of June, but that decree was not binding on future ministers. At the time, both President and Prime Minister criticized Khidashely for not consulting with them before signing the decree. David Tarhan Mouravi of the Alliance of Patriots said his party should get 8 seats in Parliament, not 6, because the percentage of votes received by the parties that didn't cross the 5% threshold should be allocated to those parties that did get in. According to his math, that adds up to 8 seats for the Alliance of Patriots. The party is now suing the Central Election Commission to change their procedures for allocating the seats. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said after the elections, the government will consider reducing the number of ministries. There are currently 16 cabinet ministers, and many political parties have called for cabinet to be slimmed down. The prime minister said they won't merge any ministries working on economic affairs. Parliament of Ukraine and Poland approved a resolution called the Declaration of Remembrance and Solidarity, which implies that the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany were equally responsible for the outbreak of World War II. The resolution refers to the Molotov-Ribbentrop-Von Ribbentrop Pact, which was signed shortly before both countries invaded Poland in September of 1939. For those interested, read Tim Snyder from Yale. His most famous book, Bloodlands, is available in Georgian from radarami.org. Makes a great Christmas present and very economical. This is radarami.org. Take a look. And a lot of other books on there, too. The Russian news agency TASS reported that Russia and South Ossetia are negotiating an agreement that would allow South Ossetian troops to serve in the Russian armed forces. They expect to sign an agreement by the end of the year. It would mean that Russian and South Ossetian soldiers would serve together at Russian military bases in the breakaway region. The information comes from statements by South Ossetian Defense Minister Ibrahim Gaseyev. That was always the case in Armenia, and Armenians would always want to join the Russian army to make more money. Georgia is, I mean, that was many years ago, but I don't know, maybe it's still the case. Georgia is getting 30 million euros from the EU to implement governance reform, which is part of the Prime Minister's four-point reform plan. The Prime Minister and EU Ambassador to Georgia, Janos Herman, will discuss the details in a meeting on Friday. Three Georgian citizens were detained by the South Ossetian authorities this week. They're residents of Karkushani village near Dusheti and the Didi Medvedevskevi and Kirbali villages near Gori, respectively. The security authorities in Skhinvali say they illegally crossed the border and don't have any documents. The man from Kirbali was released Wednesday after, and I say with air quotes, paying a fine. the small income generating activities by the Ossetian authorities. Once again, the soldier was killed. A soldier was killed when an army truck ran over him in Kakheti on the 21st of October. 37 people were in the truck. 5 were hospitalized and 7 with 7 injuries. The tragedy occurred near the village of Bodbe near Sikhnahi. A lawyer representing the company Georgian Manganese was arrested for corruption this week. He's accused of attempting to bribe someone working a court case where Georgian Manganese is being fined $350 million for damaging the environment. The company owns mines in Chiatura and a ferroalloy plant in Zestaponi. Heavy truck and bus traffic was temporarily halted this week on the Gudauri-Hobi stretch of the Mskheta Stepanitsmindalarsi Road because of icy and snowy conditions. Speaking of snowy conditions, areas around Tbilisi got their first snow of the year this week. Georgia's emergency service 112 opened a new emergency response center in Rustavi. It will ease the workload of the main emergency response center in Tbilisi. The service is part of the Interior Ministry. The Devdoraki Amali Gorge of the Tedek River got a new emergency response system to prevent flooding. The system monitors water levels so the relevant agencies can evacuate populations when the threat comes up. It was installed through a partnership between the Environment Ministry and the Swiss company Geotest. The border crossing at Sarpi, Georgia's busiest border checkpoint, was restricted on Wednesday due to a software glitch on the Turkish side. As of Thursday afternoon, only commercial trucks are able to enter Georgia. National Bank of Georgia reported that savings were down 2.4% in September on a month-to-month basis. Total deposits were 14.9 billion lari, a decrease of 346.3 million from August. Banks lent a total of 16.5 billion lari, a 74 million lari increase. Also worth noting, lari-denominated loans were up 2.6% month-on-month, while foreign currency loans decreased 2.3%. IMF published total growth projections for the Middle East and Central Asia, which includes the South Caucasus. Doesn't look good. Regional growth is projected to be 1.3% in 2016, the lowest since 1998. Georgia's growth is projected at 3.4% in 2016 and 5.2% in 2017. By contrast, low oil prices and sanctions mean the economies of Azerbaijan and Russia are projected to shrink this year. Ceremony took place to break ground at the Gardabani hydropower plant, a 230-megawatt plant that's being built at a cost of $159 million. It's being implemented by the China Tianchen Engineering Corporation with funding from Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation. TBC Bank purchased the insurance company Kopenbuhr for $1.4 million. The acquisition will allow the bank to provide auto, travel, personal, accident, life, business, property, and liability insurance services. The deal is part of a broad effort by TBC to offer a larger range of services to its retail customers. Ajada Textile is building a new factory in Poti. According to the company's financial director, Gia Lominadze, business is growing, and the new facility will be bigger than the existing one in Kobuleti. It will employ 3,000 people. Ajada Textile launched in 2009 and produces materials for international brands such as Nike, New Balance, and Under Armour. Deutsche Bahn will start launching cargo trains between Georgia and Azerbaijan by the end of November. The freight will travel by sea from the Romanian port of Constanza, then be offloaded in Georgia and set on rails bound for Baku and eventually Tehran. The whole trip should take 15 days. Georgian Railway announced it's considering building a railway line between the Kutaisi Airport and Tbilisi Central train station. They're working with Deutsche Bahn to decide whether such a line would be financially viable. United Arab Emirates-based company Rakia, which recently sold 85% of its stake in the Poti Free Industrial Zone, announced that it's staying in Georgia, still undertaking a $40 million project to renovate the Sheraton Matehi Palace, which will reopen next year. The company is planning to make new investments as well. Kommersant reported unofficial information from auto importers that the government is still debating plans to ban right-hand drive cars next year, implementing the ban either from the 1st of January or the 1st of March 2017. The bill was passed in 2015, but the incoming parliament will make the final decision on when it comes into force. Tennis star Nicholas Basilashvili beat the world's 10th rated player, Thomas Berdych, in a match in Austria over the weekend. Basilashvili went into the tournament ranked 107th in the world, according to the Association of Tennis Professionals. Polish Wine Academy will start offering courses on Georgian winemaking. It's part of an agreement signed between the Agricultural Ministry and the Polish Winemaking Fund to promote Georgian wine in Poland. The Polish Wine Academy is in Warsaw. Students learn how to make different wines as well as study the history of various winemaking traditions from around the world. In parliamentary news, Parliament won't be in session until next month after the runoffs have been sorted out. The meme this week is a freeze frame from a public broadcasting station program about the U.S. presidential elections. It shows each of the U.S. states that could go either Democratic or Republican in the election with the flags of the states in the background. But instead of the U.S. state of Georgia, it shows an outline of the Republic of Georgia with the Georgian flag. Whoops! Michael Cicieri writes in Foreign Affairs about the aftermath of Georgia's elections. The country is certainly democratic, but it is not yet a liberal democracy. Otsneva is looking to amend the Constitution to cement its position, and some within the national movement are looking to remove them from power using political agitation rather than the ballot box. Lincoln Mitchell assesses possible outcomes if Otsneva wins a constitutional majority. They mentioned both making the president elected by parliament and amending the Constitution to define marriage as between a man and a woman. Both things Mitchell thinks would be very counterproductive for Georgian democracy, and he is right. Tatuli Chubabria, formerly of the above-mentioned Radarami.org, now of the Human Rights Education and Monitoring Center, writes in Open Democracy about Tbilisi's endemic homelessness. She says it isn't about how economic growth or lack of supply in the housing market influences things. It's about general social exclusion. Plus, current housing assistance schemes are quick fixes that usually fail to get people integrated into society. It's really interesting, and people are not really talking about that too much. There's those pictures of the people in that sort of abandoned building that was much circulated internationally, but it's a really good article, worth reading. Social Sciences in the Caucasus looks at employment statistics. The share of workers in agriculture is declining, as is the share of self-employed workers. Could be a sign that more people are working in sectors like finance, healthcare, and hospitality. Andrew Higgins writes for the New York Times about Russia's policy of creeping borderization, which is incredibly important and nice that somebody's talking about it internationally, because it doesn't seem to get a heck of a lot of play with all that's going on in Syria and other places. Jadyasheni is ground zero, a village literally cut in two by bulldozers, barbed wire, and Russian border guards. It's a huge problem for Georgia. Tom Duvall writes for Carnegie Europe about the aftermath of the parliamentary elections. He borrows a term, superfluous men, from Pushkin to describe those talented people whose talents aren't wanted by the state. Unsurprisingly, he's talking about Idakli Alassani and Datu Zubashvili. Josh Kusera writes for Eurasianet about the popular phenomenon that is the Alliance of Patriots, their conservative nationalist movement that's been compared to many of the anti-EU parties of Europe. He interviews Corneli Kakachia of the Georgian Institute of Politics, who predicts that while the Patriots are a dangerous movement, their having seats in Parliament will expose them as incompetent and probably do more harm than good to their movement. Yeah, those groups aren't so great at policy, as we know from the United States. D.C.-based Center for Strategic International Studies, or CSIS, devotes an episode of its Russian Roulette series to the Georgian elections. CSIS also published a report called The Kremlin Playbook, which deals with Russia's strategy in Central and Eastern Europe. It includes discussions about Georgia, where Russia's economic influence is growing. That's dangerous because the Kremlin tends to politicize its economic relationships, to say the least. Special report from The Economist considers why political and economic reform failed in Russia. They say it's because the Soviet Union never fully disintegrated in the first place. Putin has ruled by reviving dormant institutions like the planned economy, KGB, and official propaganda platforms. Armen Grigorian writes in the Central Asian Caucasus Analyst about the government reshuffling in Armenia. Prime Minister Hovik Abramyan resigned back in September, and the ministers of Defense and Foreign Affairs were also replaced. Grigorian thinks the moves were intended to strengthen President Serzh Sarkisian's position going into the next year's elections. World Bank publishes Doing Business 2017 report. Georgia is number 16, an improvement from its number 23 ranking in the 2016 report. It gets extra points for protecting minority investors, making it easier to pay taxes, and making it easier to get electricity. There's Georgian language translation of the recent speech made by the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama. It talks about Trump and women, which is the main reason of his tanking in the polls. Check it out and share it with your Georgian-speaking friends. There's also her YouTube video, which is subtitled in Georgian. Send it to those who speak Georgian and are interested in Georgian politics. Independent reviews Kitty Mellowa's new album, In Winter, where she's joined by the Gory Women's Choir. It's a mature Christmas album that has a seasonal vibe, but doesn't rely on the old tired tropes about chestnuts and children sing-alongs. She does some classics as well as a few new songs of her own. National Geographic calls Cajete one of its best places to visit this fall. Not surprisingly, they have wine as one of the main draws. All the stuff the Reads posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 80, the maximum weight in kilos of a Tushuri sheep, the native Georgian breed that dates back to the 13th century. Tushuri make up about 80% of the roughly 1 million sheep living in Georgia, according to a 2013 report by the Georgian Shepherds Association. If you are a U.S. citizen, check your registration, request a ballot, personally call anybody you know from Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, or now Texas is in play and plenty of other states. Any American you know, call them and make sure they vote and tell them you'll do everything you can to help out. Check on their voting status. Those living in Georgia can easily register and turn in their ballots at the embassy. There's obviously no time to mail them. Check out vote.org for more information. Encourage your friends and relatives living outside the United States to vote. Americans living abroad is the fastest-growing constituency in the United States. U.S. Embassy of Georgia also has information on its website. For those who loved Felici, here is a cool project organized by Dariko Holodilina. Send a letter to the city of Tbilisi and say how you feel. Experiences, memories, things you love or miss or worry about connected with the city. Just write a letter on paper. Remember those. Drop in any language you want. Drop it off at Generator 9.8 next to the old U.S. Embassy, the Orbeliani Palace, by the dry bridge below the Tbilisi Marriott on the side of the PDMZ. Or you can mail it to Letter to Tbilisi, Generator 9.8, Antonelli 29, Tbilisi 0105, Georgia, and then parentheses put the country so they don't, you know, make the obvious mistake. But move quick. The last day is in early November, so if you're going to get it there, you've got them, and you're mailing it from abroad, you need to do it pronto. American Language Center is offering 6 weeks survival Georgian courses starting on the 2nd of November. It's on Wednesday and Thursday. It costs 360 lari per person. Go to alctbilisi.org. Katie Davies is organizing a drive to collect winter coats for IDP children living in temporary settlements in Isani. If you're interested in donating a coat, or better yet, you have ideas on how to get coats in bulk, contact her at Kate, K-A-T-E, underscore Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, 2, at hotmail.com. For families with kids, the Ethnographic Museum is putting on a trick-or-treating Halloween night on the 29th. They moved up the event 2 days, so it'll take place during the weekend. Museum entry costs is 3 lari per adult and is free for kids up to the age of 12. Guests are also asked to bring candy. They're asking for volunteers. If you're interested, contact Katie Davies at Kate underscore Davies 2 at hotmail.com. The Georgian International Festival of Arts is going on right now. The 29th and 30th of October will feature the program of Italian focus in partnership with the Italian Embassy. They're putting on performances of the play Italia Year 10 at the Tumanishvili Theater on Agma Shinabeli. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tpielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1967, from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Aretha Franklin, and I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You. We'll be right back.
Hello.